Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this Easter weekend of 2025. And I trust, like me, you are celebrating, I think, believe with all of my heart, the greatest event in all of mankind's history. Jesus Christ died, but he arose on the third day so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the unique difference between Christianity, what you and I believe, and all the other religions combined, is that we serve a risen Savior. There is an empty grave. None of the other religions can boast that of their religious leader. So I'm so thankful today that we serve a Christ who is alive and ever lives to make intercession for us. Well, I hope you enjoy the message that we have for you today. It's a sermon preached by my father, titled The Peerless Person, and we'll feature it today and next week as well. I hope you'll pray for me as I am involved in revival meetings over this Easter weekend, April 16 to 20, closing out this Easter Sunday morning in Elizabethton, Tennessee. and then I'll travel home for a few days and then make my way to Mercer, Pennsylvania, to Wayside Community Church in Mercer, Pennsylvania. And then May the 4th through the 7th, I'll be in Mount Orab, Ohio at Cross Point Wesleyan Church for revival services again, April 4 to 7. So I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these revival meetings. We give you praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for the marvelous plan of salvation that culminated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and now continues, knowing that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, and we can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We can be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father because of what was accomplished by Jesus on the cross. What a blessed thought. Bless those who are listening today, especially those who might have a particular need, might be struggling spiritually, might need a physical touch. Would you be with them? Give them peace that passeth understanding. Continue to provide for the program, and we'll be grateful. You always have. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. I need your help to stay on your station, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness that rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. It was just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they must have moved him in the night, but none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how aware they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I
In the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 24, you'll find the reading of the word. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. These verses in the 9th chapter of the Hebrew epistle. There's a statement found in verse 26, the latter part of the verse, that I want to use as a basis for our message this morning. And I want to change the position of one word without doing any damage to the truth and make the text to read like this. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Notice the simplicity of that phrase. Simple and yet extremely profound. I do not believe there is a statement found on the pages of Holy Writ in all 66 books of the Bible that gives to us a more positive plan of redemption for the human family more than the plan that is wrapped up in this simple text. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open and enlarge this truth to the hearts of every one of us in divine presence, because every word of it is a flame and a glow with gospel truth. This text this morning speaks of the supernatural, because the plan that is suggested in the text is not the plan or the scheme of mortal man. If all the masterminds of the universe, the philosophers, the theologians, the psychologists, the scientists, with all their ingenuity, had sat down together at a round table in a special conference called for that purpose, they could have never come up with a plan or a scheme that would have done near as much for the human family. In fact, they would have utterly failed in their effort to achieve some kind of a plan that would lift us from a state of despair and anxiety and sin that the human family has been so deeply engrossed in since the fall of Adam in the garden in the long ago. This is a plan that God had to make, and he made it through his Son Jesus Christ and is administered to us by the wonderful third person of the Trinity, namely the Holy Spirit. But this text not only speaks of the supernatural, but it speaks of the supreme fact of salvation for the souls of lost men is the truth that is found wrapped up in this text and throughout the entire Holy Writ. This truth is the truth that makes us to know that men can be set free from the condemnation of sin and delivered from that agonizing awareness of a condition that prevails in the heart that needs to be corrected. But it not only speaks of the supernatural and the supreme, but it speaks of the superlative. For there is no more noble deed than that of one man giving himself in order that others might live, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're saved this morning, this message ought to be the star that guides you. If you're lost, it ought to be the ray of hope that will find you. Because this man, Jesus, appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of himself. And there are three brief statements found in this text that I trust somehow will find an indelible stamp upon the hearts of each of you in divine presence. First of all, I want you to notice that this text speaks of the peerless person. He hath appeared. Let's look for a moment at what the scriptures have to say about this peerless person. In the Word of God, it tells us that he is the Son of God unequal, as revealed in that little verse known as the Bible in miniature in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He is the Savior of the world exclusively, for the book declares, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved, save through the name of Jesus Christ." He is the sovereign Lord exalted, for he declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the satisfier of the hearts continuously, for David said, "He will satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." But notice, beloved, that in this man Jesus, and if you sit here in divine presence and can testify to a positive, personal, up-to-date, present tense experience in the realm of divine grace, and you know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the blood's been applied, you've been to Calvary, a change has been activated within your soul, you'll find that in this man Jesus, the peerless person, that we have a love that cannot be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a strength that can never be enfeebled, a purity that can never be defiled, a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that can never be exhausted, all wrapped up in the personality of this man Jesus Christ, the one who appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of himself. Let's look, if you will, for a few moments at what the songwriters and the poets had to say about this peerless person. One day a man by the name of Samuel Stinnett picked up his pen, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, he penned those words, "Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glory is crowned. His lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress and flew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. To him I owe my life, my breath, and all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave. From since his bounty I receive such proofs of love divine. Had I a thousand hearts to give, Lord, they would all be thine. Man by the name of Charles Wesley, the brother of the founder of Methodism, one day under inspiration penned those words, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into thy haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Man by the name of Joseph Scriven, in the throes of despair and darkness, one day penned those immortal words, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In your imagination, go with me to Bridgeport, Connecticut this morning. We walk into the home of a little blind lady. She never saw the azure blue. She never looked at a star-decked Milky Way. She never saw the beauty of the late afternoon sunset. She never looked on the velvet petal of a rose. And I say, Fanny Crosby, have you ever met this man, Jesus? Does he mean anything to you? And that little blind songwriter lifts her voice and begins to sing, Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. In small country chapel, tabernacle on camp meeting grounds, large cathedrals around the world, men by the countless thousands on the Lord's Day stand and lift their voice and sang as we did just a little while ago, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. But a man by the name of P.P. Bliss, I believe describes it just a little more than all the others put together when he penned those words, Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, but he sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior, lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior, when he comes our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior, he appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of himself. But look at what history says about this peerless person. He was born contrary to the laws of nature. He did not travel extensively, and only once did he cross the boundary line of the little country in which he was born, and that was during his exile in childhood. But in infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows as if they were pavements, and he hushed the sea to sleep. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries in the country could not contain the books written about him. He never founded a college, yet all the colleges and universities together never had as many students. He never commanded an army, yet all the armies of the world never had as many volunteers. This man, Jesus, is reconciler, harmonizer, healer, and savior. And though time is spread over 1900 years, this man Jesus still lives. Herod could not seduce him. Satan could not deceive him. Death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.